Being relevant. Sometimes when things don't go the way we'd planned, when we face disappointments or simply find ourselves not feeling useful, we may begin to feel irrelevant. We feel we're not important to a situation or group of people. We think that they can get along just fine without us. Feeling irrelevant is a painful thing and can stop us in our tracks, paralyze us from going forward, and cause us to sit down or sit out life. It's at those times that we need to rehearse what God says about us, to recognize once again how valuable we are in the eyes of God. For us, today is that day. Although our usefulness to our bosses may be measured by the success or money we make for them, God doesn't use that form of measurement. Perhaps we measure our relevance by the number of friends we have or the strength of our relationships. Again, that's not God's measuring stick. We may even consider how much people listen to what we say and the value that they place upon our words as a measurement of our worth. Again, that isn't how God views our significance to Him. It's because we sometimes mix our worth or relevance with the world's standards that we need to review what God says about us. And Scripture is full of verses that reaffirm our worth to the one who made us. The Apostle John explains, "See what great love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God." And that's what we are. We are made His children, not by the will of our parents, but by the will of God, and thus we are beloved and chosen by God. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "Even before God made the world, He loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes." He goes on to explain, "God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure." Wow! When we break these passages down, we see, number one, before time began, He loved us. Two, He decided before we were made to adopt us. And three, He was greatly delighted to have us in His family. In fact, He explains that no matter what happens in this world, He will still love us. "For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then My faithful love will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you." Thus God declares beyond time and space, "I love you." And then He says why? "Because you are precious to Me. You are honored, and I love you." And if that isn't overwhelming enough, He declares us His priceless treasure, His masterpiece, spectacularly beautiful, made in His image. As the artist who made us, formed by His hand, He speaks of how carefully and tenderly He fashioned us, saying, "You made all the delicate inner parts of My body and knit Me together in My mother's womb. Thank You for making Me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw Me before I was born. Each delicate part of us was gently formed by the loving hands of our Heavenly Father. And His constant care for us continues throughout our life, as Jesus promises. The very hairs on your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. And God's thoughts toward us are always precious. Even if everyone else should leave us, God remains by our side. No matter what battle we face, nothing can separate us from Him. Moreover, He has planned something beautiful and meaningful for our lives, as He assures Jeremiah. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And because He has chosen us as His special people, He has called us to proclaim His name throughout the earth. Furthermore, he has promised us the sweetness of eternity, time without end with him. He's designing a special place for each one of us in order that we can be by his side forever. Just see what Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And in this forever home, God himself will be with us and will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There should be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things of this earth have passed away. But even here, even now, he is fighting our battles for us, providing us with the armor to resist the devil who will flee. He calls us by name, he says repeatedly, and walks with us through the valley of the shadow, providing all that we ever need, and he provides us with food and shelter and protection. No one can snatch us out of his hand. We are so priceless to God, and he loved us so much that he redeemed us with the precious blood of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Then he placed his Holy Spirit inside of us, giving us his power to walk in his light, so we never have to walk in darkness again. He calls us friends, designates us as ambassadors, and seats us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He ensures that we're growing more and more like Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And he gives us the victory over sin and death, thus making us overcomers and conquerors. Yet when we are lost, he seeks us and does not rest until we are found again. And then when we return, he restores us and celebrates with great fervor that we are with him once more. God has made us relevant because we are his. Our usefulness and significance is assured because we are chosen by him. Our consequence and worth has been determined by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. As such, it doesn't matter what people say or what we feel. God has declared us priceless. Therefore, we can continue to serve him faithfully and fully, honoring him with our lives and our lips. And we can walk in that confidence that he who began a good work in us will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ's return. But there's more. There's one more thing I want to share with you, and that's about the point of being relevant. It's by helping others feel relevant too. Carr Anderson, a professional speaker, journalist, and consultant, suggests 7 ways that we can do that. The first is to be an active listener that connects with people and focuses on their interests and their needs. We need to seek out those who appear to be left out or overlooked. We need to find ways to make them feel valuable and worthwhile. Even in conflict, we need to believe the best of the other person. Seeing them in the best light may actually turn a divisive situation into a peaceful one. We need to look for places that will bring mutual benefit and speak to that, as it may lead to more meaningful conversations with others. Furthermore, we need to nurture relationships with those with opposite strengths to ours. This shows humility and indicates appreciation for their qualities. We need to praise others publicly, especially before those who mean the most to them. Finally, we need to find ways to share our message in a way that will give it value to other people. In this way, what we do will always matter to others, for we have shown them that they matter to us. Beloved, we are always relevant to God, and he wants us to show others that they're relevant too. God bless you, dear ones. God bless you.